The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We welcome you back as we are live in Auburn. Final hour on a cool early evening, the night before the Iron Bowl. Couldn't remember. I'd never covered one of these. Alan Green is joining us. We have a big final hour. He's the athletic director at Auburn University. 3 hours ago, we spoke to Brian Harsin, who certainly one of your recent hires here. And it's really good to see the coach. Alan, how are you? Yeah. And I know this is a rather busy weekend.
It's an awesome weekend, Paul. I'm doing great. And War Eagle. And it's funny, I was in the Bahamas. Oh, yeah, War Eagle! I was in the Bahamas earlier this week with our men's basketball team.
Saw that.
So forgive my tan if y'all, for those who don't have a very good one right now. And now we're back here for the Iron Bowl.
Yeah, I was watching, was it Wednesday? Yeah, I was watching the game Wednesday.
It was quite a game. Double overtime game against UConn. We came up a little bit short, but it was a hell of an effort.
Now, those things happen. Yeah. So a little warmer weather here in the Bahamas than over here?
I'll just tell you, it was about the same. I'll let you believe that.
It is. That's a tough job. You go to the Bahamas for a basketball game. I'm so cold I can't remember what sport we're covering. And you come back for the Iron Bowl. That must be fun.
It's only like 50 degrees, Paul. It's not that cold. Yeah, you know what? That's part of our job. I mean,
you went to school up north. I'm a southerner.
I did. But the beautiful thing about what we get to do is spend time with our student athletes. And I know people joke about, you spend a couple of days in the Bahamas, but when you're with a team on the road, that's when you really get a chance to get to know the players, spend time with the coaches. I've been able to do that with volleyball for the A&M trip before our A&M football game. So that's the beautiful part of our job.
That is, and I you're a former student athlete, so I'm sure you can relate to it very, very well. But on that subject, because there's so much conversation lately about the changing ways of student athletes now that they can profit, what do you see when you talk to them? What do you hear?
Well, first, I consider myself now an old man because I'm saying, kids these days. Sure. But that's just part of the maturation process.
Just wait.
And I have, I have a 16-year-old who is on Instagram quite a bit. And so, I'm starting to get acclimated to just this new generation and how they see the world. And funny enough, Tim Cook is in town, and I know he's going to be on the show in a little bit. But I was talking with him and Coach Harsin just right before we came down here about the expectations of young people, and they aspire higher in shorter moments in time. They want it to happen more quickly. And so we have to learn to embrace all that the younger generation that they deal with, that they come with, because they are going to be our future. And it takes some sage wisdom to try to share with those folks. But also learn from them as well. And so we have to really be ambitious. We can't be afraid of change. That's the only thing that's constant in our lives. And so the more that we can embrace it, the better off we're going to be in the long run.
I'm interested in what you think about this part of it. And Nick Saban said this the other night, but others have said it as well, about fans being self-absorbed, expecting too much. And I look at it a little bit differently because my constituency are the fans, as yours is. Yeah. You do want to please them, but you don't want to tell them how they should view something. But I am curious how you view the rancor out there, the noise, because there's a lot of it.
Well, I think there's two sides to the coin. So if you're in the locker room, number one, I think you get over wins faster and you get over losses faster. And the responsibility is to prepare for the next game. Like, as a former baseball player, you could go 0-for-3 on Monday, but you had a chance to do it again on Tuesday. And like my golf game, I got to have a quick short-term memory. And so I think that's part of what we and our responsibility is as administrators and as coaches, is to help prepare them, because we know that the real world is full of opportunities to grow, and you typically do so in failure. But no one likes that, right? No one likes to be in that space, but sometimes it takes that space to get to where you ultimately want to be. And I think from the fan perspective is they want what everybody wants. Like every fan base wants to win. And every fan base wants to win 1, 2, 3, 4 more games than they already are, or they want to win by a bigger margin than they already have. And I think that's the dynamic that we're in. But I will tell you that when I talk to folks in the Auburn family, I tell them, I care about us winning. I care about us developing our student athletes. And I said, this is my livelihood, right? This is what keeps the roof over my kids' head and food in their bellies. So I can guarantee you that I want to win. Same too with our coaches. So we're going to continue to do all that we can as the environment continues to change, do the best we can to manage the outside perspective. But our focus has got to be on helping those young people manage the wins and manage the losses successfully.
How do you square the two? Because I know where you're coming from.
You're about to ask me a question that's unsquareable.
I believe you're sincere, and I know your history indicates it. But we also saw this program make a change last year, sure, because winning was not enough. It goes on every day of the week in our profession, and as you have to care about what's right, but ultimately, if the team isn't winning, it's going to overshadow everything else.
Of course, right. And we've seen that happen, you know, this year. And we've seen the folks, the schools who have made changes in leadership and in football. I think that's the reality. And we have to accept that that's a reality, particularly in this league, right? This is the most difficult competitive league in the country. And arguably the West Division is the most competitive division in college football. And we sit right smack dab in the middle of a really good Alabama.
You were making fun of me.
No, it is cold, Paul. But we sit right smack in the middle of a great football team in Alabama and a great football team in Georgia. And our fan base wants to be at that level. Our football program wants to be at that level, and it's our responsibility to do all that we can to help make sure that we're there.
Well, I said I wouldn't ask you any unanswerable questions, but I will ask you one, because we're closing in on the end of the season.
Yep.
Tomorrow can change a narrative very much.
Sure.
But I am interested, and I think all the Auburn family would be interested in your assessment of the first year under Brian Harsin.
Yeah. No, I you know, when you walk into, and I know people talk about COVID being different, and, you know, we continue this cycle of it being really unique with in terms of recruiting or engagement with the team. And I think that plays into dynamics. But I think any new coach has uphill battles, and they have some things that they have to figure out. And I think coach and the staff and the players were all trying to figure out themselves this year. We've had some success, right, and some early success. And so we know that we can do it. And the last three games have not been the type of consistent performance that we've been looking for. And that's painful. Like, that stings. It stings the fan base. It stings the players, the coaches, myself. It's not fun. And I'm a competitor. And so we have to then really think about going back to the basics and thinking to ourselves, okay, what got us in that position where we were successful? How do we get back there? And, again, how do we continue to put – our young men in our football program in position to be successful and keep on grinding away. It's chopping wood and it's carrying water, whether you win or whether you lose, each and every day.
Well done. Always great to see you, Alan. Alan Green, the athletic director here at Auburn. Thanks so much.
My pleasure, Paul. Thanks a lot. War Eagle.
We'll be right back. Lot to do here in the final 45 minutes. We're live in Auburn.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we welcome you back to Auburn, where it is a special weekend here, the Iron Bowl. But it's also a weekend that the 2010 National Championship team is going to be commemorated, and the coach of that team is Gene Chizik, and you are here. It is so great to see you.
It's a very special weekend. We actually wanted to do it last year, Paul, but, you know, COVID and all of those things kind of got in the way. So we thought, what a great weekend to commemorate a very special year. So we had a great response with the guys from the 2010 team coming back here tonight. We're going to have a dinner tonight at 7 o'clock and just have some great fellowship, have them all over here and get them together again, a brunch tomorrow. Let them come see, you know, the greatest show on earth, the Iron Bowl, right? So it's just going to be really fun to have everybody back together, tell a lot of stories, and commemorate a national championship year.
And 2 weeks ago, it looked like you had an RSVP from the MVP of that season, but now he's busy, Cam Newton.
Yeah, Cam's got his hands full with the game Sunday, right? So we were hoping that was going to be able to work. But there were so many other great responses. The guys are just going to be happy being together, telling stories, reliving that incredible year. So we're all looking forward to it.
And that year, it's nobody has forgotten any of those games. There were so many memorable ones, you know, from the LSU game where Cam faked out one of the best players in football, to the Iron Bowl, which was played on a Friday that year. In Tuscaloosa, and I don't know if I've ever spoken to you about that game, because it has to be one of the most bizarre games you've ever coached, the way it started and then what happened.
Yeah, it was incredible, Paul. I mean, if you go back and you look at, you know, the way everything unfolded, we go into the game. We had essentially already clinched the SEC
Sure.
West, but we knew that Alabama had great players and stood in the way of us, you know, potentially going to the national championship game, and the game starts out 24-0. We're down in Tuscaloosa, and as people know, that's a tall order to overcome. But in the first half, we went back and really dissected it at halftime, and it was really nothing Alabama had done. It was everything that we had done to ourselves. So there was no panic, and that was the great thing about having so many incredible seniors, so many incredible leaders. They never panicked. You got to remember that there were several times during the year that we came from behind and had to win Sure. in the last second. And this was really no different, but that's a little different, you know, task in Tuscaloosa, down 24-0. But they never panicked. We went down to halftime 24-7. I said, we're going to get the opening drive. We're going to score. The game is going to be on. And that's exactly what happened. We scored on like the third play of the third quarter. The score became 24-14, and then the rest of it was history.
So it's interesting. You're down 24-7, but was knowing you'd get the ball, was that some adrenaline to take in to the locker room with some confidence, because it still seemed like a long way to go?
Yeah, it did. But we were confident in our ability to execute, which on both sides of the ball we did not do the first half. And you know, a lot of people say, hey, what kind of halftime adjustments do you make? Well, a lot of times great halftime adjustments are just the fact you go in at halftime, you show them what we did not do right.
Okay.
We don't panic. We go out and we call some of the same things. We just execute them better. It's not like you can go in halftime and create a new offense and defense, right? It's a matter of execution. And you know, when you're on a championship run, every championship team that I've been on, it's because, yes, we had great players, but it's also because we executed at a high level and we weren't doing that. So they came out the second half. We took the ball down, and that second half was Auburn football. The first half was not Auburn football, and that was the difference ultimately in the game.
There were so many things going on. You had the excitement of Cam, and there were some great defensive players on that team, too, that I think some people have forgotten, Nick Farrelly being one of them. But you also had the controversy with Cam, which it wasn't just a sports story. I mean, the country was riveted to what was going to happen next inside that locker room. How were you able to manage that part of it?
It was an incredible level of focus from the players. It was amazing to watch young guys at that age. And you know, when they walked out of this building, that's all they heard. Is he going to play? Is he not going to play? Is the NCAA going to strip him of this opportunity? All of those things. But they really stayed singularly focused. And it was a pretty amazing group of guys. You know, people ask me all the time, what differentiated Cam from a lot of the other great players that you have been around and had on your team? It was his level of focus when things around him were crazy and there was chaos. And it didn't matter if you're talking about singularly in a game or if you're talking about just in general. He was a very singularly focused guy that really understood what he had to do on that football field. And he never let anything get in the way. So it was a combination of him being able to do that because he was the best player in the country. Let's be honest, right? Yeah. And he had a group of guys around him that believed in him. And they all trusted him. And they all trusted each other. And they trusted the coaching staff. And it allowed us to block out a lot of the noise that when they left the building, they couldn't escape from. And they were able to do that over and over and over again because that storm started about halfway through the season. Right. And it lasted an incredible amount of time. But when you have guys that are that singularly focused and that driven, it was an easy task for a coach.
And I'm just remembering it from, 11 years ago. I don't remember. I mean, I remember you defended him, but you didn't engage a lot. You just kept talking about the football team, if I remember it correctly.
Yeah, Paul, because I felt like the more I engaged that, you know, the more it created this unnecessary chaos, even more than was already out there, right? And, you know, I simply addressed a lot of the press conferences saying, if you want to ask football questions, right, I'll talk all the football questions you want. And that's all I'm going to address because I felt like at the time that's all I needed to address. I was the coach of the football team. I was not an NCAA investigator. So I wasn't trying to wear both sets of shoes. So I made it clear to the media that that's what I felt if they wanted to discuss, I was capable of discussing it and really nothing else. So I wasn't trying to be, rude or disrespectful, but I knew that.
You did that even. I mean, I remember sitting there in the press conference after the Iron Bowl. I mean, you came in and everybody was there to ask about Cam and the NCAA, and you lay down the edict pretty quickly, and there was not much. And I bring that up, not to harp on that, but we've seen so many other coaches lately, one who was working a week ago and isn't anymore, who just couldn't resist jousting with the media. Less serious issues, I might add, but still, I think back in admiration. I didn't like it at the time, I will admit. But I think the way you handled it was the right way to do it.
Well, thank you, Paul. And again, you know, I qualified as a football coach, not as a media member, which I am now. And now I don't qualify as for a football coach, I guess. But, again, at the time, I was very singularly focused. It was an opportunity of a lifetime.
Sure.
That we were in a position to possibly win a national championship. And as people know now, those things don't come easy,
yeah,
right? They're really, really hard to get. And so I felt like, you know, this is an opportunity for a group of young men, a group of coaches, a group of administrators to have an opportunity of a lifetime that you can carry with you and no one can ever take from you. And that's a national championship. So no matter what I had to do at that moment, my best interest and my interest was that of protecting our football team and keeping us on course for that possibility, and it worked out.
Well, I can only imagine your thoughts tonight in an hour and tomorrow. It has to, I mean, you've had great moments in your life and career, but just to reflect on those with your players in this arena, I would think has to rank pretty high.
It is, Paul. I'm honored. You know, I'm honored that they gave me the shot to be the head coach here. I'm honored that I was able to coach a group of guys like this that really achieved something that less than 1% of the people in the world will ever know what that's like. And no one can ever take it from them. And I'm really interested and I'm really excited for that stadium to be full tomorrow. And when they introduce this football team before kickoff, that they can really reflect on a lot of great memories, because I still get letters and emails and people stopping me everywhere I go saying thank you. And it wasn't me, it was the great guys and the great players. But I want the fans at Auburn to know that they're the best fan base in the country, and they deserve that, and I hope they get another one. They're hard to come by, but if it's a long time before they get one, they can at least remember it tomorrow.
Well, Coach Gene Chizik, an extraordinary remembrance of one of the great moments in Auburn history. It certainly would have to rank at the top. We thank you, Coach. Congratulations. Enjoy the weekend.
You certainly
earned it.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah. We are back, the final 30 minutes live in Auburn, and you can't come to Auburn without finding one of the most prominent alums, Tim Cook, who was the chairman and CEO of Apple, but he's here as an Auburn fan.
I am, and I'm thrilled to be here.
And a lot of these fans, including myself, would like to know about your last hour or two, because I understand that when Alan was here, he told me that you met with Coach Harsin and I don't know who else, so I'll ask you.
I met with Coach Harsin. I met with the team.
The team.
And talked to the team for a while and found them in a really good mood and excited about tomorrow.
When we were here with you 4 or 5 years ago, you spoke to the team that day, and it's something that we were able to include in the piece on you, and it still rings with me, and because you talked to them about how they affect other people.
Yeah.
And you were talking about I think your nephew at the time, but I'm curious, when you speak all over the country and the world, and it's not like you just walk in without thinking about it. What type of message did you have for them?
You know, I told them that tomorrow is this rare opportunity to create a memory that lasts a lifetime, and that there's no better memory or longer lasting memory than those that hit you when you do something you're not supposed to do. We're not supposed to win tomorrow.
No.
But we can win tomorrow. And so I tried to leave them with that spirit, and the fact that I think the team in Crimson is not the major foe, that the major foe for all of life's greatest challenges is the person that's staring back at you in the mirror. And you have to recognize that, and sort of that little voice in your head that tells you you're doing 100% when you're doing 90, and you have to eradicate it somehow. And so that was my message.
Well, I want to say this for those who may doubt your prognosticating skills. I'm supposedly an expert. I think you've outpicked me on this game the last two or three times I've seen you.
I have.
I swore to you, I think it was 4 years ago, I said, there's no chance. Auburn's going to win, and of course Auburn won. Then 2 years ago, they replicated that. So I am not going to dispute, at least until tomorrow, what you've had to say.
I think we're going to surprise tomorrow, and I'm feeling really positive about it.
I'm curious, because I remember sitting not too far from here talking to you about when you were a student here, and
yeah,
it's a couple of years ago, and so much has happened. But if we could go back to that for a second, Tim, because you were just finding yourself. You came up here from a small town and in South Alabama. And Charles Barkley told me this Wednesday. He said, it's the greatest decision I've ever made in my life. It gave me all these opportunities, and it helped lead you to a rather promising road as well.
Yeah, I love Auburn. And it's been so great for me that Auburn really ingrained in me early on the hard work and preparation. And that has been the story of my life for the last 40 years or so. And so it holds a really special place in my heart.
And I'm sure, because
students are always students, football players, young people are always looking to those like you for advice. And when they do come up to you, whether it's football players today or wherever you are in the world, what do you tell them?
I tell them something that I would have wanted to know if I could have when I was 20, that the joy is in the journey of life. And you can't keep putting off your joy and saying, you know, it's the next promotion or the next win or whatever. You need to enjoy it along the way. And so I always tell them that. And then I try to ingrain on them the value of hard work and preparation and sort of the Lincoln quote that I think is so profound but so simple of I will prepare and my chance will come, is that I've always believed that, had faith that would be true, and it's worked out.
And I'm interested because we all face things and you think at the last minute before you go in for an interview with your boss or you're being reviewed for some project or speaking wherever you are speaking, whether it's to the local PTA or to the Rotary Club, and you walk out there and you probably say to yourself, I know I have, I wish I was better prepared. How do you tackle the task of preparation?
You prepare just religiously, and there is, at least from what I have found, there's no substitute for it.
Okay.
And I think business and sports are like that. They sit at the same intersection, is that the preparation is king.
So I've always promised not to talk business, but I want, but you told me something once about in your world, you're dealing globally, you're being interpreted in other languages. I would think that's a challenge when you're trying to make sure your words are just right.
Yes. Yeah, you have to sort of put yourself in other people's shoes, I think, and try to think through the most simplest way to word something. Because the translation invariably can go astray if you get too fancy with your words. And so I like to be just simple and plain spoken.
And you have been. I'm curious about a couple of other things. So I sat with you once and a man came up and I was struck by this. He was asking the head of Apple, complaining that his wife's, the battery in her iPhone wasn't working correctly. By the way, I have a couple of complaints here too. But I would think you get I'm sure you get some very technical questions because you were an engineer, but you also probably get some pretty pedestrian ones as well.
I do. And to me, if somebody's a customer, they're a customer and I listen. And I try to get them to somebody that can help if I can't.
That's good advice. I can't thank you enough. I know you love coming back here. I've seen you quite a few times. And I also know how much the people appreciate when you do come back.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. War Eagle.
War Eagle. Tim Cook joining us here. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.